Wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop renewable. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network. Hell, good day!
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Head On with Bob Kincaid. I am your fill-in host, Mr. John Foss, coming to you from the beautiful land of Down Under. And it's a beautiful day here in Australia, and it's nice to have some decent weather. And decent by, I mean, tolerable in one way or another. We're so busy with flood fires and everything else, we don't have any time to talk about climate change now, do we? But that's just, you know, how these things go. But it's been crazy. I'll tell you about Gail and I living in the backyard for a week because the house was just too damn hot. And just absolutely insane. I can't even describe to you what last week in Sydney was like. Or anywhere that, jeez, we were complaining about the heat. Meanwhile, Queensland is like being washed off the frickin' map. But anyway, welcome to Head On, everybody. I'm really sorry for the bum steer that I was going to be on yesterday. But hey, kind of a big gig came up for me, and I had to kind of do it, you know. You got to go where the money is. Couldn't really turn this one down, to be honest. You know, you get a call to do a tour for Belinda Carlisle. First tour in 10 years. You don't turn it down. And it was an interesting afternoon. Really, 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 really nice Australian band she's got, and Belinda was lovely, and the punters had a great time. But enough of that. What else is happening? Okay, first of all, numbers are a little bit different. We got somebody on hold at the moment. Just hang tight. I'll get to you in a little bit. Just hang on. We don't have the 866 number today. I was kind of hoping we'd get that ported over, but in the insanity of Bob going on holiday and just things being on fire over here, I think it seemed to have, got missed. Anyway, so we're stuck with an unfortunately on your dime number. Hopefully y'all have some free minutes ready to go. So the number to dial in is 304-574-7811. 304-574-7811. I can only take one caller at a time. Not much of a queue, just the way things are arranged here. But, hey, we'll deal with it. Yeah, David, I fell asleep at the show. No. Oh, sorry, I thought you meant fell asleep at the beginning of yesterday's show. Oh, never mind. And the email rolls into John, J-O-N, at headonradionetwork.com. Or if you prefer doing the Gmail thing, you can use the number 12, T-H Harmonic. That's 12th Harmonic at gmail.com. Look forward to your emails. Now, since we weren't able to be here yesterday, I want to kind of move Moran Monday to today, if you don't mind, for a couple of reasons. and excuse the audio quality here. We have some, unfortunately, really dodgy old gear, and it needs some sorting out. So I'm going to just do something real quick here. Hey! There we go. Okay. Sorry. Had to crack a dry solder joint. That's how it is. Anyway, back to where we were. It's been, aside from the fact that one part of the nation I live in is flooded, another part's on fire, another part's just roasting, and the southern end is now catching all the water from Queensland, and they're flooding out. But, sorry folks, I don't have the circus music. Just wasn't that organized. But, I have some Moran Monday nominations. I got sidetracked. And I've only had 4 hours sleep since last night, so if I'm a bit loopy, I'm not doing Limbaugh radio here. I just actually went out and worked for a living last night. And but aside from all this stuff, the story has to be Egypt. The story has to be Egypt. And Gail and I have been locked on to Al Jazeera for the last couple of weeks. And if this event in our history, the history of this entire planet of ours, does not finally give Al Jazeera the credit it deserves for being an unreal news organization, as in unreal, just incredibly good. You know, just the numbers of Americans flocking to the streams when Al Jazeera, you can't get on hardly any cable system in America. It's crazy. But it's amazing how proof in practice can dispel a myth. No matter how much some people want to, you know, go, oh, you know, and I'll get to the Muslim Brotherhood, but what I think I should do, because things are on other people's dimes, is go to the phones. Welcome to Head On. Who we got?
Susan.
Hey, Susan. How are you?
Well, you're kind of dovetailing right in with my nomination for Moran.
Okay.
My nomination for Moran. Okay, you haven't given yours. I'm going to give mine.
Okay, go ahead, and I will give mine, but go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I got a couple. First of all is the American media. What we laughingly call the American media.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, before you go on, have you been watching the way the American media has not been able to deal with the reality of what's going on down there? Like, you know, as in...
Oh, God, yeah.
The tap dance...
They just can't handle it.
It's amazing. It's amazing. It's been almost hilarious to watch. Go on.
Yeah, my other Moran nomination, and I'm really sorry to say this, is the Obama administration.
Now, for what reason?
They're backing off.
They're backing off what? I mean, they've been backing off things for 2 years. What are you talking about?
Okay, what they've been saying almost from the beginning is, Mubarak, it's time for you to go. Now they're backing off. My other reason for nominating the Obama administration is, where did they get the idea that the Egyptians were willing to accept the torturer-in-chief as their president?
Okay, now you're segueing perfectly into my two nominations, because my two nominations are... are Mubarak and Solomon. And Solomon is the king. The king to me, one of his first statements, and this just, I almost wet myself laughing. When on Egyptian television he said, we're going to call the protesters' parents and tell them to get their kids home, or something to that effect. As though these were all children in the streets, and they were going to ring their mummies and daddies and say, you're being bad and you really need to come home before curfew. And I'm just sitting there thinking, what kind of a lunatic, and obviously a lunatic...
And all you had to do was look at the pictures of the people in the square, in their millions, and you saw teenagers, you saw middle-aged people, married couples, with their children, old people.
The image...
It was the entire gamut.
One of the things, and if I missed it, I apologize and I will pull it back. But one thing that I did not see reported in the U.S. media, but was obvious on the ground via Twitter, and Gail has been all over Twitter on this thing since it all started, because Gail spent some time in Cairo. It's a place that she has a lot of emotion for. So this event has just really just sucked her in on an emotional level. And we have to pay witness to this. But the thing that I haven't seen reported in the American media is the simple fact of when this whole thing first started, in the very early days, when the Muslims in the protests tried to stop to pray, Mubarak's goons, the police, sprayed them down with water cannons. And after that occurred, the Christians and the atheists all
stood around them, a
human wall around them to protect them. And it was the most clear statement to me that this was about people, this has nothing to do with any religious group. This has nothing to do with any particular policy. This has to do with the people finally standing up to a 30-year regime that has tortured, abused them, and has raped them of all their money. It's very simple.
Mubarak is worth $70 billion. Billion with a B.
And
there's only one way he could have gotten that. By looting the treasury.
Right, Betsy's pulling me up here because I didn't actually say it. Aside from Twitter, it was on Al Jazeera, and they showed footage of it. Now, if that footage was widely distributed on the American media, do you not think that it should have a positive effect on the view of an actual secular free to worship society?
The thing is, it was on there for a blip, and then it went down the memory hole.
Because after that, no one got water cannoned.
Do you know what's on, has been on today about Egypt?
What?
Nothing.
Oh, the fact that after the protesters took a little bit of a break while leaving a core band down there that over yesterday, they had more people turn out than ever before. They've overflowed the square completely.
Yeah.
And they're looking for new territory Occupy. How is this not all over the media?
I am just now seeing footage on Egypt for the first time today, and I've had the news on all day. The American news, because what I do is I watch it, I keep it on so that I can see what the American news is laughing, what I laughingly call the American news, so that I can see what they're not reporting.
And
the only time, you know where I saw it? The footage came up on Cenk Uygur's show.
You know what? There are a few things. There are a few outfits that I have to give some credit to in this. One is actually NBC and MSNBC. The fact that aside from Al Jazeera and, say, Anderson Cooper, there are no foreign, you know, news bureaus anymore. But quietly over the last few years, NBC's actually been putting money into their foreign bureaus and outfitting them with gear. And, you know, Brian Williams and what's the G.I. Joe boy's name? I can't remember at the moment.
I don't know. He's a real short dude.
Yeah.
He spends most of his time in Afghanistan.
Yeah. They were amazing. You know, just like Al Jazeera, where, you know, every time they were getting cut off or interfered with, you know, they found a balcony somewhere to communicate what was going on.
Yeah, that's what they did. Okay, now they did a absolutely incredible job the other night. But the night when they were having the basic, what amounted to a wharf, the square.
Right. Richard Engel, by the way.
Molotovs.
Yeah.
Yeah, Richard Engel.
Yeah.
And what they had was Richard Engel and that other guy. Brian Williams. They spent what amounted to all night long on that balcony, though, live.
Yeah.
Broadcasting. And it was mesmerizing.
It was fantastic. And
it was literally mesmerizing.
And not only that, you know, like Anderson Cooper, he's the only redeeming factor on CNN at all. I understand why he bailed, because I think he's just too easy a target to spot. And, you know, I think he probably felt he was putting his own crew in jeopardy. And, you know, got to be a really hard decision. The guy's got a track record that you really can't deny about going into tough places. So, you know, but
and he got himself beat up.
Oh, yeah. And I was really hoping that was going to be a moment that might actually get America to pay attention to this properly and realize what's actually going on, that the thugs that are beating up our press, no matter how much the right wing seems to hate a free press, these people are actually out there putting their bodies on the line to bring us the story. And, you know, I didn't see any of it, but Rachel Maddow, oh, jeez, stupid mixer. Rachel, seriously, I have to, like, yell.
I adore Rachel.
But she's been amazing, you know, and she even complimented Fox News, because when this thing got going and the people that they had on the ground, you know, when you're on the ground and not reporting from some, like, hotel or a studio outside from all of it, reality, it screams down upon you. And, you know, so Fox journalists got attacked, and so that did change their tone a bit. They're not seeming to do much about Glenn Beck, but I think he's seemingly disappearing up his own asshole faster than any of us could have imagined. But even Fox,
Glenn Beck is,
you know, Luke sent me this Chicken Little piece, and it's so true. I'll get to that later. But, you know, like, just talking about, you know, it's like this guy is, like, constantly screaming, the sky is falling. And it's madness. It's absolute madness.
He's crazy.
He is.
He's crazy.
But I, you know, and this, and the thing, and it did such an injustice to the actual Fox reporters that were doing something real.
Yeah. The thing that bothers me about the administration is they started out saying, you need to go. It's time for you to go. And you've looted the thing. You've looted the country for everything it's worth. It's time for you to leave. Now they're walking it back, and they're saying, well, maybe he doesn't need to.
Yeah. See, that stuff's a worry.
Yeah. Okay, and that's, I think they started walking it back when the students took a, you know, the protester took that one day break. And I have a feeling that now that it's suddenly spreading, not to mention they had a protester, a cop shot him and killed him in Alexandria, just gunned him down.
Yeah.
In the street.
Yeah,
that's not going to go over well.
No, it's not.
Not going to go over well at all.
No, and that's the other thing too is with them having, you know, cut off the internet for a while, it ended up, you know, creating a bit of a situation where the images from the ground really weren't getting out. Then they open up the internet, and we're finally getting stuff from the early points of this siege.
Yeah, and there's hundreds of killings.
And that's galvanizing these people. Now, Texas Betsy is mentioning to me here in the chat room, there's also a story this morning of how people outside Cairo are upset with the Tahrir people. And, you know, they are reporting some of this stuff, but you will find that most of those people will be the people on the U.S. press, of course. And she's just adding that this is the U.S. press, right? And this is obviously part of that. You know, we won't say that they're the rich people making the money off Mubarak's regime, but they are the ones that want him to stay. They are the ones that are upset about this. And, you know, Gail was very, very worried when the protesters took the break, right? And I know a lot of people were. But I was saying to Gail the other day that I was fairly confident that they weren't going to lose momentum. In fact, it was going to get bolstered.
It's going to pick up.
And
for one thing, they've got funerals to coalesce around.
And there's so many people involved in this that the very people whose businesses were closed for this, many of them were in the protests. So, you know, after 12 days, I mean, can you even imagine, Susan, any issue bringing Americans out into the street for 12 solid days? No.
It would have to be something incredible.
Ah, but see,
I can give you one example, and it didn't last for 12 days. John Kennedy's funeral brought everybody out.
Well, okay. That's memorial. We're not talking about actually making a stand for anything. So after they made it,
that's what I'm talking. You know, that's what I'm saying. It's not even comparable.
Yeah, a woe is me moment is different than, you know, get the hell out, you corrupt mofo. Which is where we are. I mean, there's just, you can't deny it. This is where the situation is now. And when they took the break, I said to Gail, I said, look, these people are so tenacious and they're just getting their own side of the story out. I don't see them losing this because they've proven that they have the stamina. So to go away for a couple days
I just saw a hell of a picture I got to tell you about. It was in the square, I think. A square. Maybe not Liberation Square. Mm-hmm. And it was a woman being held, carried aloft on the backs of a bunch of guys. And there were Egyptian flags all over. You know what she was carrying?
What?
A cross.
You know, and, yeah, and...
And everybody is cheering. You could tell everybody was cheering. This one, this is no Islamic movement.
No.
No way.
No. And the demonizing of the Muslim Brotherhood is really getting up my fucking ass, to be really blunt and crude about it. As far as I've been able to research and understand, they are not a fundamentalist organization. In fact, it sounds to me like they are the Egyptian version of the Salvation Army.
When the only place you're allowed to talk and gather is in a mosque.
Absolutely.
Where else are you going to go?
And I can't even remember where I made this comment. I was talking to somebody about what's been going on. And, you know, I said, you know, when they cut off the internet, and I'll get to Vodafone in a minute. When they cut off the internet, the people were already out in the streets. They were already, you know, I haven't done this in a while. The multitasking of trying to read like two different chats and keep a line of thought and whatnot going. I'm out of practice. I lost my spot, Susan. This is 4 hours sleep for you. Shit! Anyway.
Out in the streets.
They were
out in the streets.
The people are out in the streets, so they cut off the internet. They now had, you know, the mosques and the churches replaced the social networks. For a bit. And this is coming from the atheist, mind you. You know, remember, I'm like the biggest screaming atheist that there is. But I am loving the fact that these people of different faiths that I completely disagree with. I think it's all bunk. But.
Yeah, but they can be used for something besides worship.
Yeah.
Like, spread the word, guys.
Well, you know, many of you.
Once in maybe a generation, you are seeing a complete sea change in the nation. This is historic. This is massively historic.
Yeah. Yeah. And Betsy again is saying, on Friday, the Christians protected the Muslims while they prayed. On Sunday, the Muslims protected the Christians so they could hold outdoor masses, an outdoor mass into here. And on the day of... the day of departure, I guess it was. When in Tahrir Square, they held a joint mass, and both the Muslim and the Christian both specifically said, "This is not about any religion. This is about people. This is about rights. This is about, you know, this is about people." This is not about any ideology. And they made it really clear.
Yeah.
They made it, you know.
This is about not having to live on $2 a day.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've heard, there's a French minister that's under serious fire because, you know, it's been found out that, you know, Mubarak paid for him and his family to go on, you know, some fancy holiday and lent him a chopper and all this other stuff. So we have a whole bunch of people that have been making a lot of money off of Hosni Mubarak and this crew. And when this whole thing started, you know, I flashed back and I went, holy crap, man, you know, this guy really has been there since Sadat was shot. You know, it's one of these things that just, you know, kind of out of my mind.
And he's been there for that long.
And he
was never really elected because every election since Sadat was shot was rigged.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And
it. Even while he's making so-called concessions, they're picking up bloggers and torturing them.
Yeah, oh, it's all bullshit. And I don't think anyone in the sane world believes it for a second. The Egyptian people sure aren't believing what's been going on in the Egyptian media because their presenters are resigning by the dozen and joining the protests.
I thought that was great. their own people or their own TV personalities are quitting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's got to be a point when you're like going, wow, you know what? The people are going to be more powerful than the regime that has had me under their thumb. It's time to stand
I had
tall.
My doubts about the Iranian thing, and I was right, because I didn't think that, you know, they were going to be able to pull it off.
But the Iranian
I
thing.
I have a feeling when they, that green revolution that they tried to pull off.
Oh, well, you know.
Mass protest.
Yeah, it, you know, that was so unfortunate how that all turned out.
Because it didn't have the broad-based support.
No. No.
This is everybody.
Yeah. It's
and this, I have a feeling, unless we stick our nose in, which would be a massive mistake, they'll pull this off. The smart thing for Mubarak and Suleiman to do is get the hell out of Dodge.
Absolutely, and I actually, you know, while, you know, people early on were sitting there going, you know, where's Obama? Where's Obama? And I'm sitting there thinking, you know what? If Obama had come out on day one, these same people would have been sitting there going, yeah, America, keep your fucking nose out of it. And
yeah.
And I was sitting there going, no, it's cool. Stay kind of quiet and reserved on this. Stay somewhat out
yeah.
of it. Because for the first time, we might be able to say, we're not fucking with you. We are letting
yeah.
this happen. Now, we're keeping an eye, you know, like if suddenly there was a massive media blackout and the reports came out that, you know, it was strong arm time, that's when I think, you know, Barack Obama and the world community actually would probably gather around and say, okay, we got to do something, but we'll do it all kind of in the right and legal way, not in a,
right.
you know, Unitarian, just, you know, George W. Bush, you know, God told me to do it kind of way. And
I think the most that Obama should have been saying all along is whatever the Egyptian people want is fine with me.
I totally agree.
America supports the Egyptian people in whatever they decide they want.
Yeah.
End of conversation. Because that way we're not butting in, but at the same time we're saying, hey, we got your back.
Yeah, absolutely. Susan, this has been really great. Thanks for helping me out with the first half hour of the show. I'm going to take a little break and see if we can open up the line for somebody else. Thanks so much, and thanks for blogging for me and all that stuff today, and me running you around
no
like
problem.
An idiot. So,
love to everybody, and special love to Wayne.
Yeah. I don't, did Bob mention that on air?
No.
I'm not going to get into details, but our original founding financer and the boss is not a well man at the moment. So until I get some clearance to give any more detail, just if you do the prayer thing, please, if you, just he's a good man, and he's not well at the moment, and we're all pulling
yeah,
for him.
Good thoughts and fairy dust.
Yes. Thanks very much, Susan. Take care of yourself, and we'll talk to you very soon.
Okay, bye-bye, John.
Bye-bye. Okay, folks, we're going to take a little break here, and I'm feeling the need for some Faith No More. So stick around. Here's one for Hosni Mubarak. Get out. You're listening to Head On with Bob Kincaid. I'm John Fox. We'll be back after this.
Yeah. you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at CityNet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit CityNet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
Everybody, welcome back to Head On. I am John Fox, your fill-in host. So, I was just going to get a drink in the canteen. No, we don't have a canteen, it's the kitchen. And Gail comes running in with her Android phone, saying, check this out. Just reported via Twitter in Egypt, 300 Egyptian State TV personnel have marched out and joined the protests all at once, it appears. How frickin' cool is that? The mouthpiece is falling apart. Fantastic. Anyway, let's go to the phones, if I'm not mistaken. I got my good friend David from Maine. How you going, buddy?
Good evening.
How's things?
How are you doing with limited sleep?
I'm not doing too bad, man. I'm not doing too bad. Thankfully, it's not ungodly hot. And, you know, funny, I really was worried whether I was going to be able to do anything today. But, you know, you get rolling, the adrenaline kicks in, and we're off and happening. So what do you got for us?
Well, you know, I think we should pay our respects to Gary Moore, the RIP to one of the greatest guitarists,
and probably
that
one
ever
of
was created.
One of the most underappreciated outside of the guitarist world, I reckon. That was a huge loss. But you want? I'm in the truck yesterday, David. This is hilarious. At least I think it is, in a painful way. We're in the truck yesterday, driving up to the gig. There's three of us in the front of the truck, and the guy who runs the shop for this audio company, huge Gary Moore fan, and he's back at the shop, and the Gary Moore subject comes up, and one of the guys with me is like, no way, I didn't hear this, and it seems to have slid under the radar here and there. And so he rings up our mate Kez at the shop to let him know. It's one of his favorite guitar players.
Right.
Typical dry-ass Australian response. He says, oh, so it's safe to assume there's going to be a Thin Lizzy reunion?
Yeah.
It's just like...
Yeah, that's...
And he's a huge fan.
I don't know what to say to that, you know. But
you got to understand, he's a huge fan. This is why there were bands in the 70s from Australia that couldn't make it in America because America wouldn't get the humor. It's just a little too dry.
Well, you know, the thing about when a musician or an artist dies, and I think people pay, they don't understand. It's like he got down what he wanted in the recording booth, in the studio, on stage.
Yeah.
Go look up his performance clips. It's there. The discography's there. Whatever he was meant to do, it wasn't meant to be. But there's enough there to go back and enjoy it.
And, I mean, a guy who in a band, Thin Lizzy for 2 years, legitimized that band and made them legendary. You know, aside from the songs, you know, after Phil, who else can you name from Thin Lizzy, most people? Virtually nobody.
Mm.
You know, but it's a sad one. And what's really sad about it, you know, he wasn't known for being a man of excess too much and all that. And they say that he was in quite good health. But the report that I had relayed to me was that he actually was found dead in a hotel room from too much alcohol.
I did want to mention one thing that Susan and you were talking about Glenn Beck, and not really have to do with Glenn Beck as much as I hate to mention this guy's name, but this is a mistake that people keep making when they say he's crazy. I want to tell people that if you listen to his radio show, or you listen to when he does an interview with, say, he did an interview with Joe Madison from Washington, D.C., known as the Black Eagle, well-respected, and he actually got him in the booth and sat him down, and he went through the questions that no one would ask him, and it's a beautiful clip. But the point is that he sets this up, man. All of this is a setup, because if you listen to his radio show, here's the thing that people need to understand: you listen to his radio show, and you listen to his TV show, and it's a completely different tone, and it's on purpose. There's the YouTube clips where he's behind the stage, you can see the performance clips or whatever, and he's talking about setting things up. He's a theatrical, this is what I'll give him, he's a theatrical master, and people need to understand, it's not crazy. And the problem is when you write him off as crazy.
No, I'm not writing him off as crazy. No, I totally understand that this is thought out, this is planned, this is, you know, he's out to manipulate the fearful to make money and, you know, all that kind of crap. But there's, you know, his weird Mormon tendencies and all that kind of thing. But where I say he's crazy is people who do things knowing that they're doing harm and not giving a crap and thinking that profiting off of it is okay. That's a sociopath.
I agree with you on that, but also I think, and not to be a cruel person, but I'm going to have my moment of cruelty. If I was paid, and I was a radio host on Fusion Radio, and there were jackasses who wanted to believe that, and I could make fun of them every day, and that was going to be my chosen position, that was it, I was stuck there, I'd probably make up the craziest shit, too. That's just my way.
But there's a lot of people that will. I mean, all we have to do is look at the likes of, you know, Limbaugh and a lot of these other people. And fucking crazy Texas boy. Oh, I shouldn't say crazy. That's being unkind.
Are you talking about Alex?
Yeah. But see, he's another one of these, you know, anything to sell a DVD. And, like, you know, I kind of, like, lost my last thread of paying much attention to him when he already had the Obama is part of a Bilderberg blah-de-blah-de-blah-de-blah thing before the election was even a done deal. And so, you know, he's just, and similar to Glenn Beck, if you can constantly have this unified theory of corruption. You can keep people buying, right? And that's what I think that this is about, you know? And what's sad is that Alex started off doing some really cool stuff. I mean, I remember when I was living in San Antonio, used to see his, you know, public access music show.
You know what I think it also is, and this is what I think a lot of people don't understand also, and this isn't apologizing for anyone or anything like Obama or any of these people, but when you're on a team, you have to keep feeding the fires of that, of putting yourself in that presence.
Absolutely.
And the more people you have underneath you, you have to keep feeding that stove.
Absolutely.
No matter what, even if you start not liking it, you still have to keep feeding that stove because you have a responsibility for those people, those their families and so forth. And I don't think a lot of people understand that. You know, when people talk about music or artists or actors or anything, they don't understand that concept. But you understand it, and I think that's what we're seeing to transition to what we're going to talk about when it concerns Obama. That's what we're seeing with Obama. When he's on a team like that, he has to be a team player. He's the president and so forth. And I don't like some of his moves, but the other side of it is this, is that he's in that position. He has to take care of everybody on his quote-unquote team. And he has to do what he thinks is the best position what he can currently do for the country and to balance it all out. So I guess you can call him a pragmatist, a centrist, and the fact that he made that plea to the Chamber of Commerce this week.
What was his plea to the Chamber of Commerce? What, to stop, like, working against American workers and interests?
No, he said he pulled, like, a half JFK where he said, ask not what you do for your country, ask what you can do for your country,
right.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
But they don't have
a country, these fuckers. I'm sorry. That's all I can think of. They don't have a country,
these sons of
bitches.
I know. That's the funny thing. And, you know, I mean, I don't think the other thing is that it's the situation that we're in, John. You know, people are excited about the fact that the DLC is losing money, but there's already a replacement group right behind it. The Third Way, they're right behind the DLC, and they'll come right as soon as DLC folds. The Third Way will set up shop.
I thank you for mentioning the DLC closing thing. Continue.
Right.
That's interesting, I find.
Well, you know, I was reading it on Daily Coast, and, you know, this ties into what we were talking about, corporate ownership. And, you know, I like the fact that Keith Olbermann is taking a shot somewhere else with Current TV. Good for Keith.
Right.
I'm not really, I got to be honest with you, John, I'm not really a fan of Current. I understand why they do it, but I'm not really a fan of Current TV's
program lineup. Nor am I, but, you know.
But I understand why.
And it's a and it's one of these kind of developing projects as well. It's a new idea. I don't think it knows what it is. I haven't been there in a while. But if Keith can do stuff and actually bring, you know, something to it, he could bring people to it and maybe possibly be the thing that makes Current TV, you know, really viable and a force. So he's got the money to take the punt. That's the thing. He doesn't have to worry at the moment about actually making a buck. Unlike us, he won't have to cancel a show to go and do a gig for Belinda Carlisle.
Well, you know what's interesting about we have one person who made the call, and then we have another person who it was predictable that she would do something like this. But when you talk about Arianna Huffington going with AOL, here's the thing about that. AOL is one of the most scrupulous companies. They've made their millions. For people who don't know this, but the way they got big, the way they got to be a primetime player was they overcharged people for
big computer time
on the internet.
Big time.
And they did that in the early 90s. I remember that because I was kind of like a semi hacker. I would never pay for like the hour time, so I would always have. Well, I won't get into it, but I got on their system a lot of times. But I always thought it was ridiculous. I was like, this is insane. They're going to make so much money off this, and since they were the one of the only internet subscriber systems that was nationwide mainstream, kind of like a Costco of the internet or something.
Right.
Everybody just instantly ran to AOL. But you know,
America Online. I think that's all it did. America Online.
But here's the other thing. It was a fucking shoddy system. Sorry to curse. It was a shoddy system, and they made it shoddy on purpose. So I have to ask this, John. A shoddy system. You're going to team up with one of the shoddiest companies that we've ever seen. They delivered a shoddy product. They made your computer system filled with gunk and unbelievable. They just dumped everything in a way that there was no way your computer was going to be safe from AOL if you loaded up a startup disk.
Yeah. Yeah.
And every computer you buy. Is this an Air America situation, John? Is this what we're seeing?
Well, this is what I'm wondering, you know. I have had some issues with Huffington Post for a while, but however, as far as being a central blog that actually pays attention to the rest of the world, I do think Ariana's done a really brilliant job in a lot of ways. She's done well and created a real hub. But now this is this thing. When you become so big that you end up having to sell off to somebody else or whatever, is the original product that you produced now the point of your enterprise? Or is it now about making money, not making and breaking news, which then brings you viewers for your advertising?
Do you think Team Ariana, do you think that they, I was wondering this, do you think they researched this at all? Like when they said, oh, AOL, this is a good company, let's look up their past history. I mean, because the first thing that comes to mind for me, I understand if you want to take the money or anything, but see, here's the thing, John. You're talking about in terms of quality and credibility. When you put a headline on the paper and you put it out to the progressives, and did you catch what she said? She said, we're not an organization that we consider ourselves left. It's like, you based your whole career.
Yes.
You're half your career on being left. You branded yourself being left. This was your new platform. You brought the people that you brought in, all of these contributors who you never paid, by the way, which is the slickest shit ever. You never paid any of these people who contributed to your site. Now they're just left hanging because they don't know what to do. They look like complete, they look like fools. They know the writing is on the wall. And the writing is on the wall, John. It's going to be moved more and more to some Perez Hilton shit.
And
Oh, and John, let me tell you something. You want to get a kick, you go to the comments section where she actually made a post where she said, I'm not making this up. I thought this looks so onion-esque. It looks so onion-esque, John. I was looking at it. AOL and Huffington Post, a vision of a merger. A vision of a merger? Are you kidding me? It's the biggest shit ever. And you look at these comment posts, and it's hilarious because they're saying, I just lost 10 subscribers. I just lost 10 friends. What's going on? I just lost 30 friends. I'll tell you what's going on. The fact that everyone's jumping ship because they realize, A, they're not going to get paid. B, they got completely sold out. And C, the quality, the brand. You just, that's rule number one, John. You just killed the brand for any of these progressives.
You sunk it. I have hardly been there since the news broke. Because
it's crazy, and the funny thing is they try to moderate because there's so many comments coming in on the post, but this is another thing of the internet. You just see the truth for yourself.
Absolutely.
And all of these, it's hilarious. I mean, you look at it and you're like, come on. I mean, even I'm not an expert in business, but I can tell you this: I run a business, and I would never brand myself with a company that was as shoddy as that. And the credibility factor was so fucking low.
Well,
it's one of the worst deals this year, bar none.
And when I first heard about it, my first response, I turned to Gail and go, well, that'll be the last we'll ever hear about net neutrality on the Huffington Post.
And I have to tell you something about regarding this, going back to something like Air America. You'll find this funny, John. Sam Cedar has a radio show, which I suggest everyone check out when you can, if you go to majority.fm.
Yeah.
It's an awesome radio show, John, because he tells these great Air America stories.
I've been wanting to check it out, but I've heard it's great.
Yeah, and one of the great stories that he does is he says he talks about how one of the new owners, Green.
Yeah.
When Green got into the company, he sacked Sam Cedar. But this is a hilarious thing. They were packing this stuff. Hilariously tragic. They were packing this stuff up, and Lionel was going to replace him, and all of that. And Sam Cedar knew his days were numbered at Air America, and he's sitting there and he's packing his stuff up, and his friends are all there, and they're like, "Oh man, this is just so bad." And they're like, they're thinking, "Why'd they sack us?" And then here comes Green in, the new president, and he leans by the door, not making this up, people. I'm not making this up. And he looks at Sam and he says, "I think you're gonna like the new replacement I have for you."
No way! You're gonna want to tune into the guy that we fucking dicked you over with.
I know, but here's the funniest thing about it all. Now this is what I talk about. You know, maybe we have to cue up Beastie Boys Sabotage, because this is exactly what it was.
I've got Gary Moore ready to go, man.
Here's the thing. You know, when Sam Cedar was gaining so many stations, when they added Lionel, the station count dropped dramatically. I'm talking like immediately. As soon as he came on the air, it just sunk through the roof. And Sam's point was that Green, it wasn't the fact that he did this as to be cruel to him. It was the fact that he actually said this on the air, which is why I love Sam Cedar. See, he's so fucking stupid. He said, "Why would you say that?" I mean, he said it. Well, the hilarious thing was, here's the crazy thing for people who don't know the backstory of Sam Cedar and AOL. I mean, Sam Cedar and Air America. Well, it's all the same. America Online, Air America. You get the picture. Anyways, Sam Cedar, he said his whole team around him, all of his employees there, his board operators, his producers, everyone, his assistants, they were all there in that room, and they couldn't believe it. They looked at each other with their mouths open, and they were like, "I can't." They couldn't even respond. They couldn't even respond. So, but here's the funny thing about it, is that afterwards, Sam decided to do a radio show called Break Room Live, where he literally did it in the break room, did a video show in the break room of Air America. And he would actually have people on who were in the Air America staff, sometimes would come through and get snacks, and he would talk to them. And it's like this real, surreal thing. Because you would suddenly see, like, these people, and he had the ability and the charisma to do this, where he would be like, "Oh, that's a nice watch you got. Where'd you get that watch?" And the guy would stop and he'd show him the watch and say, "You know, I wish I could afford a watch like that, but I'm doing a show in the break room." And they wouldn't get it. They wouldn't get it. And the fact of how much money Air America pissed down the drain. But my broader point here is this, is that when you make deals like that, and you want to call them chess moves, strategic moves like that, you're talking about, if this is what it seems like, it's a quick money. It's a quick money fix. They get out and just get out now. That's the thing. The ship's gonna sink eventually. So just get out now. Get out while you're hot. That's what she did. And if that's what she did, okay. But here's the other thing. If you really care about the brand, and you really care about the people you associate with, you would wait, and you would hold your cards and wait for a company that had some credibility to it, because AOL doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't believe, of all things, AOL. That just seemed to be completely not on the radar at all. That was a possibility. That just doesn't...
Well, you know, here's the other thing, John, and this is why I like things like this, because it's like an instant reveal of the cards, and people can learn from this, because, you know, this is what I always tell people who get in the business. And I think it's important, but people don't pay attention to this. Whenever someone tells me, "Hey, I'm thinking about starting a business, what do you recommend?" I tell them, study the failures. Because if you study the failures, you'll know what not to do. And when you look at a situation like with this AOL and Huffington, I mean, and it probably stunned some people, the reaction that they they were living so close to the bubble. I mean, they were the Huffington Post loyalists, artists, whatever. They were living so close to that bubble. And then when they finally realized what was happening, and then the announcement and the way they played it up with the merging, and the fact that they want to put out this mirage and this phoniness that AOL is a reputable company, it's amazing, you know. And the thing to understand about it, this whole thing is that the credibility of your brand is so, it's such a cliche, but it's so damn important.
It's everything.
And I think so many, I know, it's everything. It's what sunk Air America, and this is what a lot of progressives need, and liberals need to understand. I know it's tough, but you need to stay on that course, because if you don't, I mean, the right wing is going to look at that, and they're going to promote that, and they're going to push it up as a failure, and I can't believe they would do something like this. And as soon as the ship goes down, just like what they're going to do with Huffington Post, I guarantee you the right wing is going to have a field day with this. I mean, you probably go on Tucker Carlson's page, he's probably laughing his head off.
Well, you know, you remind me of a couple of years ago when we had the horn section, and
right.
Bob and I were having a chat, and he put up, and I think he even put this up to me in an email once and just said, I'd like to see what your answer to this would be, you know, when I was running my green show. You know, if Walmart came and said that they wanted to advertise their organic goods on your show, would you take the money? And without hesitation,
yeah.
I said, hell no, because the entire credibility of this network, me, everything would go down the fucking tubes. It would be gone. They would be turning my back on everything that we founded this thing on by taking money from a company that is one of the biggest greenwashers and lying sacks of shit that there are. And not even that, just them as a company. It's all Chinese crap, no American jobs, you know, destroying local businesses and all that. But it's a very, that your reputation and your brand and what that brand is supposed to stand for is everything. And she sold
it. And you know, the whole funny thing about it is that she didn't need the money.
I know. Why?
You didn't need the money, and you were that high in the clouds that you didn't think that. And you have to wonder if she's like a political switch. And you know, I've talked about this to a few friends, and I said, you know, there are people out there who will switch sides in an instant, just because they can, and they know when the winds are changing to jump aboard another ship. And I'm not, and I guess we really see the complete evidence of that when someone completely, I mean, the other thing that really people need to understand is how much money Huffington Post was making off their advertising, and they weren't paying their writers, which I thought was, I mean, it's, you were just nailing the coffin for your credibility in the future when you do that. And as you do every passing month, and you don't pay people, and you have the money to pay it, I'm telling you, John, it was death for something like Huffington Post, for their credibility, their reputation, anything. And I mean, you started to see the site, and here's the other thing, you started to see the site sink when you started to see the National Enquirer stories, like Kim Kardashian's butt.
Yeah.
Is it too big?
Yeah,
and you know,
it's all for freaking keyword search garbage, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just and again. It's one of these things, when your business becomes so big that you actually no longer are interested in doing the thing that was your core business to begin with, that it's all about units and dollars and all that, you're not in the business that you started out in anymore. Yeah.
Before we leave, I have to ask you about the whole, we talked about it briefly, but Obama and O'Reilly, my question isn't basically about the interview. But my question is, do you really believe that Obama, do you think Obama respects Bill O'Reilly? I know it's a loaded question, but do you think he does?
Possibly on a level, but in general,
yeah.
I wouldn't think so.
I can't call it. I mean, when I hear him say, you know, Bill, I respect what you do here at Fox, and you just want to toss your hands up and go, no, you don't give credit to this network.
Yeah, it I mean, but what are you gonna do? You know, it's the biggest TV audience of the year. The Prez would really like the FaceTime. Freaking Fox News is the broadcaster. You know, what are you gonna do? But hey,
I got to tell you, Fox is to me, Fox is the winner of the most dubious Decepticon. New term, dubious Decepticon.
I like it. I like it. Well, so I have one question for you. When we end this call and I take a little break, we're gonna do some Gary.
Yeah.
We're gonna do some Gary Moore because we have to.
Right.
So I've still got the blues, that album up. Any particular track that you think we should be playing aside from Texas Strut or Straight Outta Blues?
I'm gonna have to let you be the DJ on that one.
Okay, all right. I just thought, you know, I'd give you an option because I might play a couple. I will play Still Got the Blues because that's his signature song. And he's got a great version of Oh Pretty Woman. Might play that a little later, but I think I might come back with Texas Strut because that's just a killer. But, mate, always great to talk to you. Always have a great time. And I have – now, don't mention the band that you sent me. I'll be taking care of that one tomorrow. But I figured
I won't be mentioning that. But Well, John, as always, it's great to talk to you. And everyone, just hit up the phone lines. And I'll talk to you again shortly.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Look out for my email. Peace.
I will, man. And that, of course, is our good friend David from Maine, our pop culture correspondent. And another great friend to me that I've never actually met. It's really weird. But anyway, folks, let's take a break. It's a little late, but that's okay. In honor of the late and very, very, very great Gary Moore. Still Got the Blues. You're listening to the horn. We'll be back in a minute.
Used to be so easy to give my heart away. But I found out the hard way, there's a price you have to pay. I found out that love was no friend of mine. I should have known time after time. But I've still got the blues for you. Used to be so easy for love again, but I found out the hard way, it's a road that leads to pain. Playing to win, but you lose just the got the blues for you.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Oh, All right, everybody, welcome back to Hour 2. Starting a little bit late, but that's all right. Here on Head On with Bob Kincaid, I am your guest host, John Fox. And, man, you know, Gary just had such an amazing fucking sound. Just glorious. We'll do a little bit more Gary Moore, a little bit more. A little bit later in the program, but we're just, man, what a legend. What a legend, what a sad loss to music, but what a great catalog he's left behind. We'll take care of some more of that a little bit later, but got someone on hold. We'll get to you in just a second. So if you're wanting to ring into the program, like I said earlier, I only have one line at a time here. So, but make a note of the number, 304-574-7811. 304-574-7811. And email rolls into John, J-O-N, at Head On. And just love to hear from you. And we got a couple of more on Monday, but we're doing it on Tuesday nominations. The American media, the Obama administration, all kind of dealing with the Egypt thing, and my nominations of Mubarak and Solomon, just for being completely out of touch tweets. Anyway, let's go to the phones. Who have we got? Welcome to Head On. Who we got? Hello?
Hey, John. John?
Hey, is this Cossack?
Hello?
Cossack?
It's Cossack.
How you going, buddy?
How you doing?
Not too foul, man. I'm doing a lot better than I thought I was going to be doing this morning. But you got any nominations, or what you got going today?
I think Mubarak. He's got my nod.
All right. I'll take that as two votes.
I mean, he's got to be out of it. I'm just going to hang around until September, you know. The country's blowing up around me, but okay.
Hey, but you know, he's got all that money.
What a maroon.
What a maroon. He's got to get all that money out of the country first. And he might be biding time for the CIA to try and install somebody. And I could see the CIA trying to do that when the administration doesn't even want anything like that. But this is such an unbelievably unique thing to witness, man. It's just been spellbinding from my point of view.
I'm just wondering how long it's going to take before the spirit of Cairo spreads to here.
Well, it's spreading across that other part of the world pretty strong. I mean, George W. Bush actually canceled a trip. I think it was to Switzerland. I've got the story here somewhere. When all this broke out, because I think they were kind of afraid that, you know, this stuff's catching places. And there was already a protest against George W. Bush and possible fear of war crimes charges.
Prosecution.
Yep. So, you know, I think there are a lot of very, very, very nervous entities out there with what's going on. I think Israel is freaking out because, well, it's always all about them. You know, I mean, this whole thing, you know, sparked off by Tunisia. And all people have to do is be shown an example, and they lose their fear. And that's why I think the Egyptian people aren't going to give up, man. They lost their fear.
Exactly. They're saying that you've already done as badly and biased. What else can you do?
Yep. And Gail was just actually showing me during the break, there's a video clip that the protesters have actually gotten all the way around Parliament House in Egypt and have put a closed sign on the gates. I mean, I'm loving how one of the things that's been talked about on Al Jazeera a bit is that one thing that most of the world probably doesn't realize is that Egyptians have an amazing sense of humor. And it's been silenced very much up until recently. And it's biting. It is smart. And they talk about how, you know, you translate some of the chants and it doesn't quite come across the poetry of it. But in the native tongue, it's supposed to be just like the most grand and hilarious stuff that's going on. But it's one of those things, it gets lost in translation, man. But in all this, they just, you know, in this struggle, the humor of a people is coming out. And humor is the ultimate defense mechanism, I think.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. Much like when NATO was bombing the crap out of Serbia and they were having rock concerts on the bridge.
Yeah. That's such a great way to flip your nose at the people that are trying to put you down.
Exactly, yeah. You've done your worst, now what?
Well, that is a great kind of encapsulation right there, man. You know, this, and see, I just don't see America doing this. Not over something real. And I don't see it. And I hope to be proved wrong at some stage. But, you know, I just don't see it. And I'm not sure what's happened. Well, I have my ideas. We've just become such a passive people. And we're so scared about, see, this is the thing. It's the losing fear, man. Americans will go, yeah, but if I don't go to work for a couple of days, they're going to fire me. Yeah, but you're in a shit. Yeah. You're in a shit job in a broken society. Go through some hardship and things can change. But I don't think Americans have the ability have as a whole, being very general, have that kind of stamina, to have that kind of care factor. Because I do think we still suffer from this huge, huge dose of not giving a crap about anything,
right,
other than ourselves. And, you know, you just have to look at healthcare debates and, you know, let's reclassify rape.
There you go.
You know, oh man, that whole thing's just disgusting. And, The Daily Show did a great rip on that last week. I can't remember the woman who was playing, you know, chief female correspondent. And she just did a brilliant job on it. And I just, man, I hope it catches on. But I think more likely the Middle East may finally push out all these little dictators one by one. And I think, and the ultimate irony is, we're not in there installing democracy. But yet we have a bunch of people out there in the media saying that you can't have too much democracy in the West, but Egypt could possibly get too much democracy.
Exactly. That shows you the disrespect we have for the Egyptian people.
Just complete lack of understanding.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I'm changing seats here. I just find this whole thing so incredible, and just the juxtaposition between, say, the Tea Party activists in America all screaming about freedom, 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 when they don't actually even understand what it means.
Correct.
And we have millions now standing for their own liberty. And, you know, somewhere along the line in all the media that I've watched over this, someone asked, you know, how different would this be if Egyptians were armed like Americans? And I'm going, I think this might have been on Bill Maher's show this past week. Because he had that great Egyptian activist and blogger on, who gave Bill Maher a bit of an education, which I thought was really great. But, you know, she said, no, the point of this is how you win. When the power is using violence. You don't. This is how you win.
Exactly.
You win.
This is the difference. We are the civilized ones. They are the ones who are behaving uncivilized.
It's a scary thing, man. And it's this opposite. Again, I come back to my favorite thing: opposite world. You know, there is so much of the population that believes the exact opposite to what reality is. Because it's easier, I sometimes think, because it's just too hard for some people to actually face reality. It's like one of the things that I find, you know, the panacea of religion. It allows you to go, oh, well, that's God's work. I don't have anything to do. Oh, people are dying. Oh, no, that's God's work. You know, I don't know, man. I actually have to say that the Obama administration has probably played this thing about as well as they could by trying to stay out of it, you know, by just trying to stay out of it. And, you know, because you know what? Say again, man?
It didn't help when they sent that guy over there who told Mubarak to just hang tough. That was not a good idea.
I missed this because that's... I missed that bit because as far as I was understanding is we were pretty well keeping out of it, and the only guy that spoke in opposition to the administration line was a former ambassador that the who said, you know, Mubarak's a good man and blah, 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 blah. And the administration came straight out and said, he does not speak for us.
Well,
so
regardless of whether he speaks for him or not, he did tell Mubarak to hang in there until September.
Who was this? I want to know.
A former ambassador. They sent him over as to see what he could do about the crisis.
I'm gonna look that one up. I have not heard that, and I'm not saying that it's not true.
Yeah.
I'm just very curious because, and I'm afraid of a two-faced situation. You know, that's what I don't. That's really what we don't need is a two-faced situation where you're talking on one side of your mouth going, "Go the people, go the people, go the people," and the other side of your mouth is not saying out loud, let's get a guy in there that we can manipulate, or a guy that we can, you know. And there's this horrible concept, Cossack, that really, really is starting to fucking shit me to tears, is this idea that you can have that these nations in this part of the world need a strong man. And they can't have too much democracy. And,
right.
And that is a frightening statement. It's a frightening statement. We're supposed to be the big, you know, light post for democracy. And we're saying to some other people, but, like, you can't have too much of it? How the hell does that happen?
I mean, you know, you can't have democracy because you might choose someone we don't agree with.
Ah, the Hamas factor.
Correct. you're going to put those Muslim Brotherhood people in there. We know it.
I'm doing this bird's eye view of the U.S. media from here, right? What is the general vibe that the mainstream media puts off about the Muslim Brotherhood?
Oh, they're the next Al Qaeda, obviously. You know, we can't deal with them. We can't talk to them. We can't have them anywhere near us. You know, and the Muslim Brotherhood is so different from Al Qaeda that it's not even funny.
And they're so different from what was called the Muslim Brotherhood 30 years ago. Like, from what I've been coming to understand is that it's really a completely different organization, that it has morphed considerably. You know, they pushed for rights for all people in many different aspects, and virtually progressive. And the description that I've gotten is that they're virtually like, you know, they deliver food. They do all that stuff. They help people in need. They help people when their own government doesn't. And, you know, do you remember back when Dr. Bill was on, when he did his whole story about explaining what Hamas was, talking about how he got into college, you know, that idea, the local kind of, you know, organized crime guy sitting there going, you know, no, he has a chance to do good. We're going to make sure he goes to university. And that's the other side of it. You know, it's just like, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, the mob is a good thing, but there is much more to the story. And I'm just finding this like unendingly fascinating to bear witness to this thing. Yeah, and Blue Ape is mentioning here the Tea Party has a magazine now. What is it going to be? Sarah Palin draped in a flag as a centerfold?
Oh, God.
I mean, I saw the cover of the thing, and it's some guy, you know, big American flag, you know? And, you know, I have this issue about people wearing flags. I think it breaks the international code of handling any national flag. You don't make it a hat. You don't make it a T-shirt. You don't make it a bandana. You don't make it a cape.
Right.
That is not being patriotic. That's being disrespectful. And on Australia Day here, you know, our like Independence Day, I was doing a gig, and I was talking to you know, some woman from the audience about something, and her son standing there with this Australian flag wrapped around his neck, you know, like a cape, and it's dragging the ground. And I made the statement, and I said, you know, flags aren't supposed to be worn, and dragging on the ground like that is like, you know, shoving it in the dirt.
Yeah.
And the mother looked at me and went, you know what, you're right. Didn't say it, but you could see the eyes going, oh, you know, we just follow on like this. You kind of make a little bit of sense, you know? Have you ever seen military people when they, you know, bring the flag down at the end of the night? Do you ever see it touch the ground? No. Do you ever see it not with light on it? No. And I'm not a flag-waving person, but I believe that there is protocol and respect. And, and, you know, I went to military school. Every morning, man, reveille, the flag went up. At dusk, the flag went down.
Right.
And it was proper handling. And this is, again, is where, like, I find these jingoistic sons of bitches. And we got them here, you know, going around wearing the flag. And they're actually proving in practice that they don't believe what they preach.
Right. They're desecrating it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for the word. Breaking news. Thank you, Gail. Breaking news. Bid to renew three key surveillance provisions of the Patriot Act just failed in the House by 7 votes, 277 to 148.
Oh. All right.
That's a good one. That's a really good one. I'm going to say that again, folks. A bid to renew three key surveillance provisions of the Patriot Act just failed in the House by 7 votes, 277 to 148. That is a win.
Yeah.
That is a hands-down win. I can't believe that Obama's, you know, if it were a right world, the Patriot Act should have just been undone.
It should have been allowed to lapse.
And regardless of effectiveness or anything, calling it the Patriot Act is so Orwellian. Because all you have to do is accuse someone and they're going, you know, he's been charged under the Patriot Act. And that just immediately is labeling someone as being, you know, proven yes or no that they're unpatriotic.
Not a patriot.
And you're able to lump a whole lot of activity under unpatriotic.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy, crazy shit, man. Crazy shit. I tell you what, man, I'm gonna 4 hours sleep. Every once in a while it hits me that I'm a bit loopy. I'm gonna open up the phone line for some other people, man, but always really good to talk to you, Cossack, and I do appreciate it, and I have your votes recorded here, and we'll announce the winner at the end of the show.
Sounds good.
All right, buddy, you take care.
You take care, John.
All right, man.
All right.
Bye-bye. And that's our good buddy, Cossack. He's a good man. And can I just say how nice it is to do this show? How cool it is to cover Bob? I love doing Bob's show because I get all you guys ringing in. It's fantastic. I love and the phone line is once again open. So we're going to take a little break, and I'll play another Gary Moore track. You know, the number is 304-574-7811, 304-574-7811. Email rolls into John, J-O-N, at headonradionetwork.com. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice and a little bit of Texas Strut, people. This is just awesome stuff. Rest in peace, Gary Moore. You'll listen to the horn. We'll be right back.
Texas blues.
Welcome back to Head On with Bob Kincaid. I am Darth Fox, your fill-in host for the next couple of days. And we're paying homage to the late, great Gary Moore. Guitarist extraordinaire. Bluesman of legend. And I know I got a lot of friends around this world that are pretty sad about this one. Probably one of the most underappreciated guitar players by the general public. What are you gonna do?
How good was this going around till I got stuck on you? So you can drop your mess and come down off your throne. Stop building my poor heart. Just a stepping stone.
Just incredible. All right. You know what? I'm going to let that run in the background here while I tell you this story. So welcome back to the horn, everybody. We got somebody on hold. Just stand by just a second. But... Texas Betsy sent me a few stories here in the top of her Google Reader. Just gets me. Colorado Springs student schools, Colorado Springs school bans kids who take THC lozenges for neuro condition from attending because of internal possession. They're possessing THC inside their body. Please. It's medication, you dumb fucks. The medication probably makes it possible for them to function in class, maybe. Or function at all. It's considered a... It's THC, that's in pot! What a bunch of fucking idiots sometimes. Anyway, let's go to the phones. Welcome to Head On. Who do we have?
Hey, John, it's Gene.
Hey, Gene, my buddy, my friend, how are you?
Oh, I'm getting crazy because my date for change is getting close. But I was gonna say on the guy with the got busted or suspended for having the THC lodging. Just what would he learn in that school anyway? They might as well go ahead and let it go. You might actually learn something then.
Oh, man. You know, this might be one of those rare situations where I'm going to be like, you know, those parents, take him out and homeschool him. You're probably doing a better job because you're getting him the medicine that actually is working for him. So,
yeah. You
know, anyway, that's just ridiculous. But that can't be why you rang in, man.
No. I wanted to comment on this thing with the DLC, because I've been listening to the Egyptian thing in the background, but I'll be frankly honest, I haven't really been watching it, because I just kind of like, boy, that's great for them, I'm glad to see it, but I get so doggone jealous every time I see it. So it's like, heck, I'll mind my own business. give us 30 years, you might get it after that. I was thinking about this thing, and because when I first read about that thing, of course, the first blog that had it was like a political thing, or a political thing, and it's like, oh, I hate to put it up, but it's like everybody's always talking about this. It's like, and I got to thinking, you know, when the Democrats really do well, isn't usually because they see a third party on the outside doing it right, and then they kind of adopt it.
Or at least it pushes them back to their core values in some respect. Now, when I saw the headline of the DLC shutting down, I kind of was of two minds. One, I went, woohoo, because I don't think it's a positive organization. It's just Republican light, and it's one of the things that I have problems with the Clintons over. But, so there's a bit of woohoo. But then I'm thinking, well, is it now that the Democrats have actually just, as a party, become the DLC? You don't need the side organization anymore?
Yeah, that's true. And the other thing, I think the progressive left on the left, apart from the party, is really starting to make some inroads. I really think they do. Because it's like, sometimes I think it's better, forgive me, my apologies for the heresy, I'm sorry. I think it's probably better to be honest, to kind of, at least this is how I'm looking at it, let it die. If it's gone so far right, maybe it all has to die off and we can start over. I don't know.
Well, you know, maybe if the club closes down, you know, the membership will have to look elsewhere for some leadership. I'm with you on that, Gene. See, in Australia, in the UK, and in the United States, we're seeing varying degrees of a similar situation where, we had the hung parliament in this last election, where these three core independents got to decide who was going to make government. And, you know, you had hung parliament in the UK. And it's kind of, to me, the fact that the two major parties, neither one's able to get an outright majority. Both of those main parties in all three countries are all losing their backing. And at least in the UK and in Australia, we have third parties that these people can go to more easily. In the United States, it's manifested in the fucking Tea Party.
I know. Speaking of the UK and that kind of thing, did you happen to see the, I don't think I sent it to you. I might still put it up on the blog. I'm not sure. There's this outfit called No Cuts UK. Or UK Uncut.
UK Uncut. Oh man, they've been amazing.
I guess they shut down Vodafone because in addition to, I know you're going to get to the Vodafone later, but it didn't. They don't pay their taxes either. So it's like
they have.
Oh yeah, that's so. I was glad to see that.
Okay. Now it's time to go there. Okay. Gotta explain a little bit to the folks what's going on. Okay, UK Uncut is a movement. Basically started by the students, that with all these austerity programs that have been coming in the UK, for the first time, students in the UK are going to be are having their student fees like tripled, and now pushing long term debt for their education thing like we have in the United States. So UK Uncut, which is basically just the youth and now expanding outside of that, started doing some research on the corporations that don't pay their taxes. And it was found out that for years, Vodafone has not paid a penny in UK income taxes. Not a penny. And so the students took to the streets and actually took over the shops of the companies that weren't paying their income taxes that are forcing this austerity. So they,
well, the,
you know, so so and Vodafone was one of the biggest targets of it. And Vodafone is proving themselves to be one of the most god awful, evil, lying sacks of shit that have ever walked in a corporate suit. Because it's not just what's been happening in the UK. There is also the fact that Vodafone, even though they say that they had nothing to do with it, I don't believe it for a second, shut off the internet in Egypt at the government's behest, and then, once it was back on, sent out pro-government SMS messages. And I don't believe Vodafone because I happen to have them personally on recording lying to me. In Australia, Vodafone's network has been falling over, and people have not been able to make calls. I lost 4 gigs last month because SMSs came in a week late. And suddenly, a guy who was on hold with overseas support got tired of being on, while he was on hold, built a website, which you can find. It's called Vodafail.com. Vodafail.com. And people started posting, and it kind of started off in Facebook and Twitter land, where people started to figure out that it wasn't just them having problems making phone calls. In one of these, you know, it's not just me, and people start to realize that it's everybody on the network is having this problem. Now, I have almost 20 hours of recorded phone conversations with Vodafone support where I can actually track them down lying to me left and right. And this is the most hilarious part of the thing. 3 weeks into just trying to be able to log into my online account. My account just disappeared, and they just couldn't even recreate me an account, but I could use my phone that was on a non-working network still, but I couldn't see any of my call details, nothing, couldn't log in for support, blah, 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 blah. So I get them. So at one point, I bluff them. You'll love this, Gene. I bluff them, you know, because when you call, like, any kind of support thing anymore, you get that. You get this. You know, this call might be recorded for quality control purposes. You know, if you'd like to opt out, tell the caller. Well, you know, I didn't.
You get to opt out.
Oh, right. And Vodafone part owns Verizon in the U.S. Okay.
Oh, is that where they went to?
Right. Okay. So you know, because they were AirTouch, I think, way back in the pager days. Okay. Now, okay, and I'm using this personal story to explain why I am clearly convinced that Vodafone are crooks and would do what they're accused of doing in Egypt. Now, so I have someone in India, you know, I haven't talked to an Australian yet, and I'm not being, like, anti-anything. It's just the fact that I'm with an Australian provider. I should be able to call Australian support. Okay, that's just a belief of mine. And my internet service provider, my regular net service provider, that's how they work. And I get the greatest service. Now, so I get this woman on hold. I get this woman on the phone, some support technician, and I said, I should tell you that this conversation is being recorded for my protection. She turns around, can't do that. And I said, oh, you can record me, but I can't record you. And she says, I'll have to disconnect the call. And she said, yeah. And she turned around and disconnected the call. Because I was recording them. So, and that was a bluff. That was actually a bluff. But from that point on, I recorded everything. And I got some 15 hours of me on hold and on the phone with people proving that they were saying things and not actually doing them, saying things that were actually untrue. And virtually like a serial criminal just lied. And just to finish the story, because of some of the regulations that we have here in Australia, we were all able to go to the Ombudsman of Communications and file a complaint. As soon as the TIO, that organization, got in touch with Vodafone, an Australian Vodafone person was on the phone to me, letting me out of my contract.
Cool.
No fees, no nothing, and I kept the free phone.
That is good.
So that this is Vodafone may lose 20,000 subscribers by the time this thing's done in Australia alone. And just my experience, I think, proves that these fuckers would lie about the pro-government messages that were being SMS'd and being pawns of the government.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't doubt it for a second. And so if you're on Verizon and you decide to actually rise up over there in America, you'll have your internet cut off too.
Well, right now I'm not. But I wouldn't doubt it. So I just, you know, I don't know. I'm just kind of floating right along right now. I've got wheelchair issues again. And so I'm now my own local person is doing really well, but the it was so funny because I talked to a friend of mine and he said, whatever you do, don't get this particular brand of chair. And I said, okay. So I went around and I talked to the salesperson. I said, can I get this other chair that doesn't sell, because he wanted to give me that exact chair, which is a Quadra. I said, I don't want that. I want this. So, of course, he said, oh, that's fine. So I get the chair probably about 3 days before I'm due to go fly back over to the U.K., which that's another story because the U.K., of course, was snowed in.
Yeah.
So I couldn't go.
Yeah.
So anyway, I got, yeah, and then I got some personal issues, so I still couldn't go. So anyway, I got this chair, right? And now I was at a local transportation meeting about a week and a half ago, and I went to use the loo, and I was in there, the chair suddenly decided to stop moving. So I was like, oh, dear. So I reclined the chair, and I reclined it back down, and I could get it back to, so it would say I could drive again. And I flew on out there, and I went to my meeting, and it kept doing this thing with, it would stop, and it would start, and that kind of thing. And so Sunday comes along, and I'm talking to, I'm talking to my bride-to-be, five weeks to go, so I'm talking to her, and it's like, okay, I'll go down and I'll move over here like this. It's like, oh shoot, the chair doesn't work. So it's like, oh crap. So I go ahead and I call a neighbor and, they come by and they give me this manual chair that I've got that I can get into, and that other chair doesn't work at all. And they called the repair tech out, and he looked at it and he said, oh, apparently this is something, it was bad from the factory, it was shit bad from the factory, so they pulled off the reclining harness, which it's what's annoying about that is I don't have to recline, but I really would like the chair to be able to run. But apparently, when you do that, you disengage the motor. So I have been home for about a week and a half, and it's like, God, I'm nuts. Like, and I've got 5 weeks before we run, and I've got all this stuff to do. And it's like, ah.
Nice. Well, I hope you can get that sorted out, because that just sounds like a bloody nightmare. But
I hope so too. But here's my global warming tie with this. It's like, so I call the local guy and it's like, oh well, they're coming, but they said with the snow and everything, they're having a hard time. It's like, thanks, Thanks a lot, global warming. Thanks. Thanks. And you guys don't believe it.
Well, global warming didn't want to do this to you, man. It's just kind of what it does by what it is. But
I know.
With that, though, I got.
I know. I'll let you go.
Okay, man. With that, I'm gonna go and try and hit this break sometime near the time that it's supposed to be. But thanks, mate.
Okay.
Thanks to you. Thanks for all the links and stuff. And you take care of yourself. And congratulations, mate. And I hope you get there soon and it all happens.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. See you later.
All
bye-bye.
Right, take care. All right. That was, of course, Gene, the blogger for my show, my research genius. And we're going to get back on air sometime very, very soon. I know I keep saying that, but geez, folks. Somebody invest in this network so I can do it as a way to make a living. But that's probably far too much to ask for, being that we are, you know, somewhere left of Mussolini. But anyway, we're going to take a quick break and come back for the third hour of Head On. And, oh, here's just a great tune from the Black Crowes. No Use Lying. You're listening to The Horn, America's liberal voice. We'll be back.
And you close the door, and you let me see what you're really here for. Then you lay me down in the touching my skin.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Bob.
Well, it's not Bob, but you knew that already. Welcome back to Head On with Bob Kincaid, folks. I am John Fox, your fill-in host, coming to you from the great brown land down under, Australia. It's a beautiful day on the Central Coast. Love it here. Anyway, the phone line is open, 304-574-7811, 304-574-7811. We got an hour left, about 45 minutes, so if you got any Moran nominations, like I said, we're doing that a bit late, and whatever else you got on your mind, you know, whatever you got going, but I got something here. Again, thanks to Texas Betsy for a bunch of stuff that she sent me today. And I just went and refreshed her Google Reader, and if you want to find it, it's over on Texas Betsy's Reader, you know, shared/TextBetsy. Anyway, the thing about Keith Olbermann getting the show on Current TV, and she's reposted a bit from America Blog. John Aravosis, you know, mentions the whole thing. Keith Olbermann, the former MSC anchor, is going to be on Current TV. One-hour program would begin sometime in the spring. But then, of course, it's, you know, we knew all that. But John's comments at the end are great. Ironically, Comcast has a 10% stake in Current TV. I, for one, have no idea if we get Current TV on Comcast cable, do we? Having said that, it seems like an ingenious way for Olbermann to maneuver around NBC's BS proviso they put in his settlement package, banning him from working on a competing news network for a year. Surprise! Current TV isn't a competing network to NBC. Snap. I love it. I love it. I love it. I think it's brilliant. I think it's a clever idea, and even if it doesn't really go anywhere, the fact that Olbermann will be able to get back on and, you know, flip a good hearty bird to, that chief dickhead over at MSNBC. But see, like, I don't think he was fired or any of that stuff. I actually think he's just, like, pretty much over it. Pretty much over having to play that game. And, I'm being told that Current Current TV is on Comcast Cable, channel 107. It's also on digital. There, if you want to find it. I'm going to be very interested to see what Keith Olbermann ends up doing. If he's going to be the chief news officer for Current TV, like when I was speaking with David from Maine earlier, saying, you know, this maybe could bring Current TV, which hasn't grabbed me in any particular way, could give it some serious traction. And it's a pretty good audience there. And, you know, it's one of those things, the audience will go where Keith is. I mean, you know, you can see that just with someone like, you know, our own Bob Kincaid, you know, the right wing buys out his slot and gets him off terrestrial radio, and everybody came here. Everybody went, yep, yeah, okay, he's on the internet. If that's what we got to do, that's what we got to do. And finally, the technology's catching up where people can now actually stream from outside their house. So, you know, I mean, this whole idea that internet radio isn't real radio is really starting to fall over. It's really starting to fall over, so. Which is a good thing. It's a very, very good thing. So anyway, like I said before, the phone line is open. You know, we've got a few minutes here to get your last digs in. The number is 1-304, you don't do the one thing over there, do you? 304-574-7811, 304-574-7811. And so far, the nomination list for our belated Moran Monday is pretty thin. Texas Betsy's saying there, she streams us in the car. It's fantastic. I love it. It's brilliant. But so far for Moran Monday, belatedly, Susan gave us the American media and the Obama administration, all dealing with the Egypt situation. And I nominated Mubarak and Solomon, Soliman, CIA man. And I'm still leaning more towards Solomon at the moment because of that comment of like, we're going to call the protesters' parents and ask them to keep them home. That they shouldn't let them out after dark. Make sure that they double knot their shoes. And wear a helmet. That is just so unbelievably out of touch. Incredible. Incredible. But, anyway. What else do we have? And just as a little warning, I am going to end the show probably 2 or 3 minutes early. Only because of kind of some of the technological jiggery-poo, I actually want to get out of the way of Rick Smith so I don't possibly block him from getting on the stream. I'm not going to get into the technical reasons of why, because normally, you know, Rick comes on, it'll drop Bob. Doesn't quite work that way from here. And, you know, the last thing I want to do is cut off any of Rick Smith. He's kick-ass. I really do like what they do. Rick is kind of carrying on some of that union stuff that we used to really focus on back in the day. And it's good. It's good. Because, you know, like, Bob's got other things, you know, at the moment. You know, I mean, like, the whole mountaintop removal thing is, you know, crashing down on him at the moment, you know, I don't know how to word it any different, but, you know, that's what he's facing. So that's going to be one of the focuses of what he does. And, you know, I'm just so glad that he's getting a vacation. Before Bob left, I'll let you in on some inside baseball. Bob and I were talking before he left, and he says, I'll see about, you know, the free internet access on the boat, and I'll see about, you know, recording this bit and that bit, and I'll see about sending it to you. Maybe I can send you some of the discussions we're having on the boat. And I was like, yeah, that sounds great, man. Love the idea. You know, in the back of my mind, I'm sitting there going, you know what? This guy's going to have the first holiday. He and his family are having the first vacation. Not vacation, like actually getting the hell out of Dodge and going somewhere. I've known Bob for a while now, and I don't know of him ever going on any kind of a holiday, and it's probably been decades for them. But, you know, once you got on the boat, there's a lot going on. I just wasn't really expecting to hear much from Bob, and that's fine with me because he deserves a vacation, and the less he works, the better in my mind. So I do hope that he and the family are having a blast. Haven't seen Squeak since they took off, which is cool. And I'm being informed that actually Rick is at the Green Jobs Summit in D.C. Fantastic. Fantastic. Good stuff, because we were there Bob went there last year, if memory serves me correctly. So, you know, but... And I'm glad that I had a chance, you know, and Bob going away gives me a chance to fill in, and I'm glad that I'm able to do a couple of days. And on that, I will be on tomorrow, and I will be on the next day. The Friday show I won't be able to do because I will be off stage managing flood benefit. So these are the things we do. See, here in Australia, these disasters happen. We don't go and hire private militias to keep the poor people out of the rich areas. We throw concerts and things to try and help people that have been had their lives destroyed by no fault of their own. And it's one of the things that I one day, the general American persona maybe will pick up this thing that I see here in Australia, that some Australians get hit by something, the rest of Australia stands up to help them. And I do find that it's the complete antithesis. You're on your own. It's your fault that you lived there. What do you mean you didn't have enough private insurance? What do you mean you didn't have a lawyer that you could pay to read all the fine print? Anyway, I need to get a drink. It's starting to get a little warm in the studio here as it's coming up on 20 past noon here on Wednesday here in Australia. So I'm going to take a quick little breaky-poo. I just want to find the music for it. Let's see. What should we do? I have an idea. Let's see. We'll go here. And we'll go... just bear with me a second, folks. Let me just cue something up here. Now, I don't have a live version of this, but Gail nominated this as a song for Hosni Mubarak. Now, I've told this story before. The Angels, one of Australia's greatest bands that actually didn't make it in the United States because, well, the Kinks didn't like having their ass kicked by the opening band and threw them off their first major U.S. tour just in time to make sure that they didn't. Well, make it big. Anyway, the Angels have a track called Am I Ever Gonna See Your Face Again? And with no doing of their own, the audiences in Adelaide started having this kind of, like, answer to the chorus. And the chorus is, Am I Ever Gonna See Your Face Again? And the crowd turns around and screams back, "No way, get fucked, fuck off." So, just imagine as you hear this song, and sing it out loud if you like. "Am I ever going to see your face again, Hosni Mubarak? No way, get fucked, fuck off." The Angels on America's Liberal Voice. The horn. And hey, Bob's not here, but the PayPal button still works. Take it, Doc.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right.
We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at CityNet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit CityNet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back to Head On with Bob Kincaid. I am John Fox, filling in for the rest, well, most of the rest of the week. And to let you know, that tune there is I Am an Island from Mr. Richard Clapton. Another kind of friend of mine. A guy that I've, like the Angels, who I've worked for heaps. I worked for Ralph, sorry, Richard Clapton, known by his friends as Ralph. For a couple of years, man, and I still run into him from time to time, one of Australia's greatest songwriters. And I love, this is one of my favorite songs. I just love this chorus. It's just great. Just amazing. Seriously, this guy's songbook is one of my favorite things to go and work. I never get tired of the songs. It's just fantastic. Anyway, so Richard Clapton, if you can find the definitive anthology, I highly recommend it. To quote a great Australian, do yourself a favor. Guy's great. And if I'm not mistaken, the guitar on here is the amazing Dave Leslie from the Baby Animals. Another great Australian band. You want to find a real... look up the Baby Animals, goes back a ways. The Baby Animals actually did some stuff in the States at a time. But Gail's hunting up a link for me. I'll try and get it up on the blog. But if you want to see a live version of that Angels track, you can find it on YouTube. All you have to do is search the Angels, Am I Ever Gonna See Your Face, live. And you will see Doc, the Brewster Brothers, and the rest of the band do this tune. You'll be able to actually witness what happens. And this, and that whole refrain thing, that no way get fuck off thing, the band had nothing to do with it. It's something that the fans organically created, and they've been doing it for 30-plus years. Just, and it is one of the, and, you know, I've told the story of this song before on the air on my show, and it's one of these things that, like, telling it doesn't do it justice to be there. I mean, and I've been there plenty of times where you've got, like, you know, 500, 600, 800, 1,000 people screaming this back at Doc. It's just fantastic. It's hilarious. That line was never part of the song. The fans, I believe it was happening in Adelaide is where it first started. The fans did it. And it's something that just became viral 30 years ago. And so, like, it's a song that they can't play on, like, live TV performances and whatnot because they know what the audience is going to do regardless of where it is. It's just, it's just, you press a button and that's the reaction you're going to get. But, yeah, the Angels, great band, did a few weeks with them, or a couple weeks with them at the end of last year, and 30 years on, still kicking some ass. Again, check them out. And Richard Clapton, just one of my favorite Australian songwriters. And, you know, he is a singer-songwriter, and he's got a new album out, and he's got a track on there called Liberty Bell. I have to get that album. It's not out yet. But when I do, I will play you this track, Liberty Bell. In fact, if you want to check it out, it's online. It's just Rich. And on there, they have streaming of this new track, Liberty Bell. It's a kicker. It's an absolute kicker. And with Ralph last year, the band was in the studio at the time, and the drummer came in after one of the sessions, and he's like, mate? I'm like, what? He's like going, this may be some of the best stuff Richard's ever done in his 35 years. And so far what I'm hearing, it could be up there. Anyway, Girls on the Avenue. That is the song you must hear. Richard is, I've always described him as Australia's Bruce Springsteen because of the lyric style. And it has nothing to do with sound. It's about the lyric style and the songwriting style. And where the lyrics are very cinematic. Richard's got this knack for being able to, in a couple of lines, paint you a picture and you're there. And, you know, it's something that Bruce has always been genius at. Do yourself a favor. Check him out. Now, I'm just getting a link from Gene at the Washington Post about after a bloated Super Bowl in Dallas, it's time to rein in big game. I have heard reports of that telecast being absolutely atrocious. I read somewhere that, like, bloody one of the commentators was eating, like, steak on a Ritz cracker because they were a sponsor. And Christine Aguilera butchered the national anthem, and I don't know. The only good thing that came out of it is that the last publicly owned team in the competition won. Go Green Bay. Like I care anyway. I really don't give a shit. Because I've actually discovered rugby and whatnot, and it's just so much more of a thing. Gail has sent me the Angels link for the live clip. I'm going to send this to Texas Betsy to post in the chat room for me because it's on the wrong computer for me. Hopefully she'll spot that. And very shortly you will have a link for a live version of the Angels doing that whole am I ever going to see your face again thing. And let's see. We're getting kind of towards the end of the show here. So a couple things. Even though it hasn't been a full broadcast week and all that, and Bob's on vacation, you know, you got the second string in here. It doesn't mean that the Bills have stopped. And the only reason that I'm not actually playing the live version of the clip is that I'm worried about bandwidth issues on this end, that if I stream that clip from YouTube, it's going to throw the whole show out. So, and I'm actually working on, I'm trying to get, I'm working on a sanctioned live recording to play for you all. So instead of someone's YouTube clip, I'm working on getting actually a track, hopefully one from one of their live recordings, and show that to you. Because I'm also thinking about doing a bit of a video clip for it, but that's another story. But aside from that, and thank you, Betsy, the link to the clip is in the chat room right now. And if you haven't been in the chat room, where the hell are you? Head on radionetwork.com. Just click on that little chat room link. If you haven't been in, quick and easy to register. It takes about 10 seconds, and you're in. But I have to do this bit, because when Bob comes back, the Bills are going to be waiting for him. So please, 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 if you can, you know, we're still working on this, you know, the Nifty 250, I think it is, that he was working on. But if you can, please throw down, because even though Bob's away, the Bills are still there. And we've managed to keep this organization alive for, you know, running on 6 years or something now, and without having to take one corporate dollar, I'll honestly continue working for free if that's what it takes to keep our integrity intact. Because we might be a loose band of folks, but, you know, we're pretty tight when it comes to the things that we truly believe in. You know, there you go. But anyway, so hit the PayPal button, and I will be here tomorrow. So we'll do a bit of prayer meeting. I'll have to see if I can dig up Bob's prayer meeting music, which I should be able to because I think I gave it to him to begin with. And there's going to be stuff on that. For sure. Gene and a few other people have already sent me stuff. So, you know, you got your crazy religious wacko garbage? Email it to me, John, J-O-N, at headonradionetwork.com, and, we'll have that for tomorrow's prayer meeting. Okay. I'm getting so many requests to play this bloody song. I'm gonna try and have a go. I don't know the condition of the audio quality on this, but we're going to have a go and see if you can have the real deal. We'll be right back. Abruptly, and sorry, that's like someone's camera phone clip, and the audio's not that bad for it, but that gives you some concept of what that's like. So that one goes out to Hosni Mubarak. Fuck off, buddy. Your day is it's over, man. The only one that hasn't realized it is you. Egypt has already changed. In the minds of its people, you're gone. You're not getting the message. And the longer you hold on, the worse you're going to look. The people in Egypt lost their fear. This is the crucial factor. When they can't scare you anymore, they can't stop you. And that's why Gail and I have been pushing this song. Because it's that refrain. And it's not the band telling them what to sing either. It's the people voicing themselves. They did this. They did this. And it's going to continue. And, Betsy, you're so right. I'll have to do that. Because I wasn't thinking. And I don't have Bob's closing music handy. So, I will have to play my closing music. Which I'll get together. But, back to Egypt. It's amazing. It's as though Egypt is living in two different realities, the people and the regime. The people have already made their decision. You're gone. You're already no longer the president. But he hasn't accepted this yet. And, you know, what is it that he's trying to do? Save face. Maybe he hasn't found anyone to take him yet. You know, I mean, that's what, you know, waiting for the plane to just disappear with the money bags and the, you know, all that shit. And, I mean, I have no doubt that that's the end game. And, you know, it's not, Jimbo says, yeah, democracy is happening there. But, of course, on Fox, it's a mob. It's mob rule there. And I really will think that it's shit if they're still playing that line. When their own journalists, who were actually doing journalism, okay? We talk about Fox not being a journalistic or news entity. But they actually were on the ground doing some actual reporting, which was proving that what their fucking talking heads are up to is all bullshit. It's all complete and utter trash. So, you know, I mean, you know, that's just what it seems to be so apparent to me is the reality is the change has already happened. But it hasn't filtered down to the people in charge. And, you know, it's pretty amazing. Like, that whole bloody, I'm going to call their parents. What, do they have a phone list of all these people? Really? No. And all I'm going to say is the Egyptian people are showing the world what it is to have a spine. The Tunisians as well. And, you know, there's some a bit of ruckus in the Sudan, and there's a bit of ruckus in a few other places around the place, and you got a whole bunch of little tin potties going, uh-oh, the natives are getting restless. And they found a way to organize. It's called the Internet. It's called the Internet. And when I was just kind of wrapping up, a few bits, tidbits of things, you know, there's been so much coming down, you know, having hardly slept, watching Al Jazeera till all hours of the morning. really, between that and the heat wave, you know, Gail and I were walking around going, what day is it? I seriously did lose track of what the hell day it was for a while because sleeping it kind of, it was just bad. Longest, strongest heat wave in Sydney history last week, and it broke on Sunday. But, you know, it's, I just keep coming back to that thing about Solomon doing, you know, we're going to call their parents and tell them to keep their kids home. Okay, that'll be, you know, even if that were to friggin' happen, that would be like, you know, a part of the people that are out there. It's not just one group, it's a cross section of society. And the next time you hear, just have this one handy, the next time you hear some Fox viewer dickhead come up and give you some crap about, you know, oh, the Muslim Brotherhood, they're going to take over and have a Caiaphas or whatever the fuck Beck was on about. Tell them, did you know in the first days when the Muslims were being hosed down by the crooked cops, it was the Christians and the atheists that went and made a human shield around them. You cannot tell me when that kind of thing happens over and over and over and over and over again, which has been happening, that this is some sort of crazy mob rule, Muslim crazy Al-Qaeda. Movement. The Muslim Brotherhood is not evil because it contains the word Muslim. Pretty simple, if you ask me. But for people who actually can do things about it, seems like the simple things are the hardest to understand. So anyway, like I said before, folks, I told you I was going to get out of here a couple minutes early just so I didn't step on Rick Smith's toes. So stick around. Rick Smith coming up. This show will replay after Rick. And for those of you off to go listen to Malloy, enjoy. I believe Brad is substituting because, well, Mike's on the boat with Bob. So there you go. Remember this one? Thanks for listening, folks. Thanks to Lottie, the chat room mod. Thanks to Texas Betsy for doing some modding and all the links. And Susan and Gene and fuck everybody. I love you. We'll see you tomorrow. We're out of here.
And the sign said, long-haired freaky people need not apply. So I tucked my hair up under my hat, and I went in to ask him why. He said, you look like a fine, upstanding young man. I think you do. So I took off my hat, I said, imagine that. Let me work it for you. So I jumped on the fence and I yelled at the house, hey, what gives you the right to put up a fence to keep me out, well, to keep Mother Nature in? If God was here, he'd tell you to your face, man, you're some kind of membership card to get inside.
It's been closely guarded. The way you respond to it now is whenever some right-winger says, Ayn Rand said, you mean Ayn Rand, the Social Security and Medicare recipient?
Queen.
Ayn Rand, the welfare queen? Ayn Rand, the moocher? Ayn Rand, the looter? That Ayn Rand?
Right, right. I was reading about her on her bio on Wikipedia, and I noticed when one of her books, something like For a New Philosopher or something like that, Gore Vidal called it almost perfect in its immorality. And they had some comments from other critics and also a list of the admirers. You know, I think there are elements of it that, you know, maybe people can, I don't know, or people kind of, this is an introduction of sorts to, like, philosophy. But, you know, that so many high school students don't get alternative, you know, heavy thinkers, you know. It's
right, and the thing with philosophy is kind of like algebra as far as I'm concerned. You can't just jump into trig. You got to start with the basics and build that knowledge base up and then get into the heavy stuff. And the same thing applies to philosophy. You can't anymore jump into Kant and Schopenhauer without having a